The events of recent years have underscored how poorly Americans divided by race or income or neighborhood understand each other. It's a disconnect the mainstream media can no longer afford to ignore.
The LA Times has added a new reporter to its staff. That's not usually news, but what he is covering, Morgan, is causing a bit of a sensation. He's covering Black Twitter.
Dexter Thomas, who has written on the internet, youth culture, and social justice, who's also a scholar of Japanese hip-hop, joined the LA Times to report on, among other things, this nebulous space in the Twitterverse. Media outlets often portray Black Twitter with a kind of distant curiosity. But Black Twitter paints a skewed picture, says Thomas. What's more, it gives journalists an easy way out of talking to actual Black people.
The thing is, and we have to face this, Black people are scary. I'm speaking from a mainstream American experience. They're very interested in observing them. And they're very interested in, you know, things like hip hop and things like jazz and whatnot. But when it actually comes to speaking to somebody, it's a little bit scary. So where this leaves reporters is finding a safe Black person to talk to. And sort of every network's got one or two of those. But now we don't need that anymore, because actually what we can do is we can just glance at Twitter and say, oh, well, this is what Black people think. We see a lot of roundups and listicles saying, here's what Black Twitter said last night. That fulfills the diversity requirement of any media outlet. Oh, look, at least we're talking about Black people here. But you're not. You're talking about a very fractured subset of Black internet users.
Well, in that column you wrote last year called Black People, Please Stop Using Twitter. If we do, maybe the researchers will go away. It was prompted by a study of Black Twitter that was undertaken by researchers at the University of Southern California's Annenberg Lab. I'm going to quote you. You said, the researcher can observe Black people from the comfort of a computer screen. Information about Blackness will then be evaluated, filtered, and selectively curated by a small group of white researchers and presented for the perusal and entertainment of a largely white audience. Will you be now doing that curation and translation for a largely white audience?
No, I'm not interested in doing that. What I'm not interested in is these sort of old, tired ideas that we have about certain ethnicities. People out there who say, well, Black people online, they speak in code that's unintelligible to white people. And that's not true. Basically, there's two websites that you need, Urban Dictionary and Rap Genius, or now it's genius.com. A perfect example of this, actually, is the Ask Rachel meme. So if everybody remembers Rachel Dolezal,
the white person who was passing herself off as Black.
Right. But the thing was, she was being extremely convincing. Not only did she have braids, but she was able to talk about Black hair in this very, very specific way. I think it sort of freaked a lot of Black people out, because it said, okay, well, hold on a second. I thought this was this arcane Black knowledge. And no, it's not. And so the Ask Rachel hashtag, the idea is that only Black people would be able to answer these questions. So for example, fill in the blank, rolling down the street, smoking Indo, sipping on gin, and juice would be the correct answer here. Now, if you're not a Black person, you don't know this. But it's silly to say that, because lots of white people listen to Snoop Dogg. There's some white kid in North Dakota right now who could ace that Ask Rachel test. Now, I could go give that to Louis Farrakhan. He would fail it. That doesn't mean he's not Black.
So your larger point here is that this notion that there's this impenetrable world out there that has to be translated is ridiculous. These cultural memes translate across the races. And you don't love the word community because it suggests a monolith. You like communities. So give me an example of some of the divisions that show that there's no monolith here.
One thing would be misogyny. Another would be homophobia. Another would be transphobia. There's a rapper named Tyga. There was a rumor that he was dating a woman for 3 years, cheating on his girlfriend. The complication here is that the woman he's dating is transgender. Tyga was trending last week. And if you looked at the tweets, most of them were homophobic and transphobic words that people know are offensive. But on the flip side, as far as we know in the media, Black Twitter is two things. It's people getting mad about police brutality and Beyonce jokes. So How do we reconcile that? We can't. There are people in Black Twitter who identify themselves as being part of Black Twitter. And when bad things happen to Black men, they're the first ones to talk about it, and they're very angry. But when bad things happen to Black women, they're nowhere to be found. But then on the other hand, you do have people who are part of Black Twitter who say, hey, that's not okay. All Black lives matter. It's really fragmented, is what I'm saying. Black Twitter is just like white Twitter.
So how do you plan to use this space as a reporter? What specific stories live online among those Black communities that don't yet have a home in the mainstream media?
For example, the response on Twitter and different social media to the shooting of Akai Gurley in New York. The person who shot this young man was Asian American. And so from what I've seen, the Asian American community was a little bit split. On one hand, there were people who were saying, we need to support the police officer, Peter Lang. We need to support him because, well, he's Asian American like us, and we can't allow people to sort of bully this guy. But then on the other hand, Asian American activists saw this and said, no, this is contributing to anti-Black violence. Now, there are Black people who are seeing this, and sometimes they're seeing only the people who are trying to support the police officer, and they say, oh, well, see, look, all Asians are just as racist and as bad as white people. They're trying to hold us down. But then you've got other people who see both sides of it. There's all sorts of alliances and conflicts. In general, in the media, the way that we talk about minorities, we talk about Black people and white people. We talk about Asian people and white people. We talk about Latinos and white people. We forget that sometimes minorities talk to each other. White people don't always have to be at the center of these conversations. So I'm interested in those.
Is there any concern that Black Twitter itself could change, become less open, as the mainstream media become more and more interested in it?
That's already happened.
Yeah?
That ship sailed a long time ago. Whenever the first article came out in 2009 about late night Black people Twitter, people have been observing it. I mean, this is what we have to understand, is that there is no such thing as a safe space in 2015. The Black conversation is part of the national conversation, and there is no hiding. But what we can do is speak louder. And we have been doing that with Twitter. I just like to help people talk a little louder, really, at the end of the day.
Dexter, thank you very much.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dexter Thomas is a reporter for the LA Times. In the wake of tragic encounters, we always call for a national conversation. Coming up, you'll hear one. You can assess its value. This is On the Media.